And now it's time for Kitchen Science, and this week we thought we'd get experimental to answer this seasonal question.
Hi, it's Chris Ogilvie here from Wakefield, West Yorkshire. We currently spread rock salt on the roads in the winter weather. The grit's not used to increase traction on the snow, it's just a convenient delivery method for salt, as a salt and water solution remains liquid below zero centigrade. So if all we need to melt ice and snow is a liquid salt solution, why not just pour seawater onto the roads and pavements? The only salt mines in the UK are in Northern Ireland, Cheshire and Cleveland, but nowhere more than 70 miles from the sea. So using seawater must be a cheaper and more practical solution than rock salt.
So, Dave, why don't we use seawater?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. The first one is just logistical. Although Chris was thinking that it would be a lot cheaper to get the seawater to the roads because it's much less far to go, seawater is essentially fresh water mixed with about 35 grams per litre of salt. So about a 30th of the seawater is salt. So if you want to get the same amount of salt onto your road, you're going to have to use 30 times as much stuff, which means you're going to have to carry it 30 times as much weight. It's going to be a lot heavier. So I'm not convinced about the logistics argument. And the other one is just how well it works as a de-icer. Now, a really important question for that is how cold something will work as a de-icer. So, for example, the traditional thing that you use is salt. So I've just got a set of normal table salt here. And I have got a bowl full of ice cubes. Put a couple more ice cubes in there. Right, so first thing we can do is just try using conventional salt and see what happens.
And so we've got a bowl full of ice there. So Dave is just about to add some salt.
And I've also got a thermometer to measure the temperature as this happens.
Okay, so this is representing the grit on the road, essentially.
Yeah, so this is essentially got ice on the road, and we're going to throw some salt on it and see what happens.
Okay.
So if we start off, the ice is at about 0 degrees C, give or take.
Okay, sounds about right for frozen water.
If we throw some salt on the top.
That looks like a lovely cocktail.
You can sometimes hear it's just crackling a bit.
Yeah, just slightly.
Okay, now the reason for that might become clear when we measure the temperature.
Okay.
So if we measure the temperature of this, it's now down to about minus 10, minus 11 degrees centigrade.
That's quite cold.
That's really quite chilly. And if you look carefully at the ice, you can see it melting where the salt is, and so it's melting away. So what's happening is the salt's causing the ice to melt. And in order to melt ice, you need a huge amount of energy. That's because you're ripping apart bonds between water molecules. And that energy's got to come from somewhere. And the place it comes from is the thermal energy of the surroundings. So the temperature of the ice is reduced because you're just taking heat out of it in order to melt the ice. And it will keep on melting until you reaches the melting point of the liquid above it, so the salt water mix. So we can use this as a way of measuring how good something is at de-icing things as to how low a temperature it will get ice to by putting it on, when you put it on the ice.
Right, so when you're gritting the road, what it means is that the temperature outside has to be that much colder in order for the ice or water to freeze.
That's right. So this salt would work down to minus 13 degrees centigrade perfectly fine, but anything below that, it would still freeze.
It's still amazing to think that in order to melt something, paradoxically, you're making it colder.
That's right. But, yeah, the energy's got to come from somewhere.
No such thing as a free lunch. Well, what are you going to do next?
OK, so I've now got two more bowls with full of ice, and I'm going to put some seawater, which I mixed up earlier, into one of them.
OK. Another tasty cocktail, courtesy of Dave.
So this has got a few turds, a couple of condoms, that kind of thing, is it? Genuine seawater.
Yeah. No, it was fresh water mixed with salt, because it's quite a long way to the sea from Cambridge. And just for a change, I thought we'd try some screen wash, which is supposed to be an antifreeze as well. So we'll try putting that one into another bowl.
My screen wash didn't work this winter. Driving down the motorway, completely locked up, solid.
Actually, I know
had
several people
coming
that's
out
happened
of my,
to. Yeah, they just sort of press the screen wash button and nothing comes out.
Yeah, the whole of my screen wash system froze. You had to hair dry it for about half an hour before I went somewhere just before Christmas.
That's no good.
You should stop washing your hair in your screen wash.
Okay, so now we'll have a look at the seawater and see what temperature it's getting down to.
Okay, using your very high-tech temperature measuring device.
Yeah, this is a radiation thermometer. It can measure temperature things without touching
it.
So
this is just basically repeating the sprinkling on the salt, but seawater instead.
That's right. We've cooled down the seawater to about 0 degrees C in order to get a fair test. And that comes out at about minus half a degree C.
Ooh, so it's not quite the minus 13 then, is it?
No, basically the less salt you have in the solution, the higher the melting point. So seawater isn't actually a very concentrated solution, so it doesn't work very well. Actually, if you have pure seawater, its melting point is about minus 2 degrees C. And actually, I've managed to freeze some seawater with in another
ice,
pot,
yeah.
Which is actually just frozen in there.
Wow, you have actually frozen seawater. It's just like being in the Baltic.
Right, yeah, I just had another pot of seawater in the ice, in the pot with ice and salt in it, and it's frozen.
Because it's minus 13, of course.
Because it's minus 13.
So the bottom line for Chris Ogilvie's question is that we could use seawater, assuming that the road temperature was not going to drop below 2 degrees, which is the freezing point of seawater. Anything below that and seawater is useless, plus there's the logistical argument you made, which is that you've got to cart 30 times as much equivalent around to get the same effect as the equivalent amount of grit and salt.
That's right. Anything below minus 2 and it will start freezing. You've just created yourself an ice rink.
What about the screen wash and the antifreeze?
The screen wash, which ought to be acting as antifreeze, is working better than the seawater, but not hugely better. It's down to minus 4 or 5 degrees C, so better but not perfect.
Is that 100% concentration?
That was 100% concentration, although it is being diluted as the ice, melts,
the ice melts,
so it's probably a fairly fair test.
And just to follow up on a couple of questions, I mean, how does that actually protect your car? If you put that antifreeze mixture in your radiator, why is that good?
Antifreeze is probably even stronger than the screen wash because it can actually be really quite nasty stuff. It's actually quite poisonous. Basically, it does exactly the same thing as the salt does. It stops the water freezing in the pipes. When water freezes, it expands and can break all sorts of bits of your car apart. The forces it can exert are immense. So it just stops the coolant system in your car freezing so your car doesn't break apart in cold.
Outstand Jing says on Twitter, at Naked Scientists, if you want to send us a Twitter message, does beer have a lower freezing temperature than water?
Yes, beer's got lots of things dissolved in it. It's got alcohol in there, it's got sugar in there, and basically anything dissolved in water will reduce its freezing point. So beer does freeze at below zero, maybe minus one, minus two.
And the CO2, I suppose, if it's fizzy, that will have an effect too.
That will also have an effect, yeah, definitely.
And so... if you were to take some beer and put that in the freezer, could you make it much stronger? Is this a way that you could illicitly do a bit of distillation because you'd freeze the water into ice first and then some slightly more alcoholic liquid would be left?
That's right. When you freeze water, it can't take in all these solutes, all these dissolved things into its structure, because ice remains really quite pure. And so what's left gets stronger and stronger and stronger. I don't know if you've ever drunk frozen squash or frozen fruit juice. The stuff which you drink first is incredibly strong, incredibly sugary. And then slowly as it melts, it gets weaker and weaker and weaker until what's left at the end is basically pure water.
Actually, I did used to know someone who was a big fan of beer lollies. I think that's why.
Vodka jelly, probably, as well.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Dave Anser, with this week's Kitchen Science. You can find details on the web, presumably.
Yep, at www.thenakedscientist.com/kitchenscience.
Some wonderful pictures and Dave's write-up if you'd like to try the experiment for yourself at home and then you can tell us what you find.